I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Hello, friend, and welcome to this special edition of The Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. Our Canadian listeners celebrated their National Thanksgiving Day on October the 10th, and in the U.S., we just celebrated ours a few days ago. So, on today's program, we will lift your spirit with joyful music and challenge you through the Word of God. Here's the Altar of Praise Chorale to begin our program.
We praise Thee, O God, our Redeemer, Creator, in grateful devotion our tribute we bring. We lay it before Thee, we kneel and adore Thee, we bless Thy holy name.
Thank you, Chorale. Now stay tuned, because in a few moments I will be sharing today's teaching, Joyful Thanksgiving. But before I do that, here's a testimony of thanksgiving from a listener in the country of Albania. She listens to our Albanian language programs on Radio 7, the largest Christian radio network in that country. She writes, "Thank you for the copies of the programs you sent to me. I have been listening together with my son and a few neighbors, and we have understood so much about the Bible. We live in a very remote area, and the closest church is a few hours away. We thank God for Radio 7. It is our church, and it is the way we connect with the body of Christ. I have learned a lot from all your programs, but the last programs you sent me from the book of Timothy and the book of Matthew were like fresh water to a thirsty soul. The Gospels help us to know Jesus better. Understanding the Gospels helps us to live a life that honors God and brings glory to Him. I'm amazed to see through history how God orders and controls the leaders and kings, and that no one is more powerful than He is." You know, her response reminds me to be thankful for the privilege to gather freely and openly with other believers whenever I choose to do that. I think it's a privilege that too many of us take for granted. So to help prevent us from drifting into ungratefulness, let's think together about joyful thanksgiving. It was October of 1942, and Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was on a mission in a B-17. He was delivering an important message to General Douglas MacArthur in New Guinea. But somewhere, over the South Pacific, the B-17 became lost. Fuel ran dangerously low, and so the men had to ditch their plane into the ocean, hurling them into the most harrowing adventure of their lives. For nearly a month, Captain Eddy and his companions fought the water and the weather and the scorching sun. And they also spent many sleepless nights recoiling as giant sharks rammed their rafts. But the greatest enemy they faced was starvation. After 8 days out, their rations were gone. It would take a miracle to sustain them. And then that miracle occurred. Captain Eddy's own words described what happened. Cherry, that was B-17 pilot William Cherry, read the service that afternoon, and we finished with a prayer for deliverance and a hymn of praise. There was some small talk, but it tapered off in the oppressive heat. With my hat pulled down over my eyes to keep out some of the glare, I soon dozed off. And then something landed on my head. I knew it was a seagull. I don't know how I knew, I just knew. And everyone else knew too. No one said a word, but peering out from under my hat brim, without moving my head, I could see the expression on their faces. They were staring at that gull, because that gull meant food, if I could catch it. And the rest, as they say, is history. Captain Eddy did catch the gull. Its flesh was eaten, and its innards were used for bait to catch fish. The survivors were sustained, and their hopes were renewed because a lone seagull, uncharacteristically hundreds of miles from the land, offered itself as a sacrifice. And by now you know that Captain Eddy and his crew were rescued. But what you probably didn't know is that Captain Eddy never forgot. It was gratitude that prompted the old man to visit an old broken-down pier on the eastern coast of Florida. Every Friday night, until his death in 1973, he would return, walking slowly and slightly stooped, carrying a large bucket of shrimp. His bucket filled with shrimp was to feed to the gulls, to remember that one gull which on a day long past gave itself without a struggle to sustain life. Like manna in the wilderness. If someone were to ask you, what's the most distinguishing characteristic of a follower of Christ, what would you say? Would it be love, faithfulness, obedience, or maybe something else? I believe love is the most distinguishing characteristic of a Christian because Jesus said in John 13:35, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for each other." But there are some other qualities that follow closely behind love. And we want to look carefully at one of those qualities today, the quality of gratefulness. A grateful spirit should be one of the defining characteristics of a Christ follower. When we realize who we are outside of Christ, and then who we are in Christ, the only logical result will be a life of gratefulness. Our text today is Psalm 95. If you're in a position where you can get your Bible and follow along, I invite you to do that as we look at this psalm together. That's Psalm 95, and I've titled our study, A Joyful Thanksgiving. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God, and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, It is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. This psalm highlights three blessings that should call you and me to joyful thanksgiving. The first blessing that should call us to joyful thanksgiving is the blessing of salvation. The psalmist begins by inviting us to praise the Lord as the rock of our salvation. Our salvation is the greatest blessing we have from God. But how is God the rock of our salvation? If you're a Bible reader, you know this imagery is common in the Psalms. And the Hebrew word that's translated here as rock literally means a cliff or an outcropping of rock. It's something solid, something immovable, something permanent. Figuratively speaking, the word rock means refuge. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's Psalm 46:1. You remember when David was fleeing from his pursuers, the cliffs and the crags were a refuge. They were a place of protection. They provided places where he and his men could hide from Saul and his men who were pursuing them. And the cliffs gave them a natural advantage over their enemies because they had the high ground. What does all that mean to us as we meditate on the blessing of our salvation? It means that the author of our salvation is secure. He is steadfast. He is unchanging. Now, if that weren't the case, we would have continual anxiety. We wouldn't have any assurance because the foundation of our salvation could shift under our feet. But I'm glad to tell you God isn't like that. He is solid. He's immovable. He's permanent. And our salvation is secure in Him. Praise God. The Hebrew word for salvation is yesha. It speaks of liberty and deliverance and prosperity. Under the first covenant, God promised his people deliverance and prosperity if they obeyed his laws. Under the new covenant that was established by Jesus, salvation sets us free from our sin. We're delivered from both the penalty and the power of sin, and it also provides a prosperity that far surpasses anything material. So let's think about these aspects of our salvation. First of all, deliverance from sin. Do you remember what it felt like when you said yes to the call of God's Holy Spirit in your life for salvation? That indescribable feeling of being cleansed from sin, the load of guilt being lifted, and the peace that flooded your soul. You had the wonderful assurance that you had been adopted into God's family, and all the promises of His Word became yours in that moment. You had exchanged masters. Before, you were a slave of yourself and the devil. Now, you're a voluntary slave of Jesus Christ. And as a follower of Jesus, not only have you been cleansed from sin, but the power of sin is broken in your life. And so now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can say no to the desires of your flesh. You can say no to the temptations the devil brings to you. You couldn't consistently do that before. You know, that reality should make you and me very thankful. And then there's this concept of prosperity. I really feel sorry for people who preach a health and wealth gospel. They encourage others to pursue a relationship with God, whom they say will provide the believer with wealth, health, and an easy life. Not only is that contrary to the whole tenor of the New Testament, but it puts people's focus on things that only last for now, things that only last for time. The greatest prosperity for the believer is in the future. It's in eternity. Our prosperity is found in the promises of God. Listen to what the Apostle Peter wrote. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us to glory and virtue, by which have been given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's real prosperity. I'm a sharer of the divine nature. I'm an heir with Jesus Christ of all that belongs to him. And so are you if you're a Christ follower. Do you see why David urges us to get excited about our salvation? In verse 2 of this psalm, he says we should come quickly before the face of God with our thanksgiving. And quickly in this case doesn't mean suddenly or carelessly. It's the idea of being quick to realize the source of our blessings and then to acknowledge God as that source. So our thanksgiving is a declaration of praise. It's a confession of God's character and a confession of his works. It should be our daily experience. And twice in these two verses, he urges us to make a joyful noise to the Lord. Our praise should be enthusiastic. It should be exuberant. We should be excited about the blessing of our salvation. And then there's a second blessing that should call us to joyful thanksgiving. It's the blessing of creation. Look at verses 3 through 5. They remind us of the greatness of God in creation. Here, the psalmist clearly states the supremacy of the Lord, Jehovah. He is the great God. None of the gods of the heathen can compare with him. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. Even the things in nature that you and I can't see are under God's control. His outstretched hand maintains the delicate balance of our universe and of our planet. The heights of the mountains are his also. This phrase takes me back to verse 1, where the psalmist talks about God as being our rock. When I look at a mountain, I see strength, I see stability, I see permanence. And when Jesus wanted an illustration of something that was humanly impossible, he said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, that whoever will say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says." And you may recall that statement astonished the disciples. The psalmist goes on, "The sea is his, and he made it." You know, I can never stand on the seashore without a sense of awe. Looking out into the distance, to that point where the water meets the sky, or hearing the thunderous crash of the waves against the rocks, or thinking of the teeming life beneath the surface, all of those things contribute to my sense of how small I am and how great God is. Finally, he says, "His hands formed the dry land." I like to picture that, with God being like a potter at the wheel, molding and shaping the clay. That's the picture given here of God's creative ability. The marvels of the earth that we inhabit are too numerous to mention, but they are proof of God's existence. It was Ralph Waldo Emerson who said, "All I have seen teaches me to trust the Creator for all I have not seen." When was the last time you thanked God for the marvels of his creation? Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." When was the last time you stood enthralled by a beautiful sunrise or a sunset? When was the last time you went outside at night and looked up into the heavens at the numberless stars, and you remembered that God has a name for every one of them? And then you remembered, too, that you are much more important than a star in God's sight. Have you ever thanked God for the endless cycle of the seasons and the simple regularity of day and night? You know, all of these and so much more should call forth praise and thanksgiving from those of us who call ourselves the people of God. And then there's a final blessing that should call us to joyful thanksgiving. It is the blessing of relation. In verse 6, we're invited again to come into God's presence, this time to fall on our faces before the Lord in worship. Why? Because he is our maker. He is the one who has created us in his likeness and image. He gives to us the very breath of our lives. Everything we are and everything we have is a result of his blessing. As I think about those things, that's reason enough to be joyfully thankful. But there's more, so much more. Notice verse 7. "He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Those words don't just speak of provision, they speak of relationship. They are personal. I can't think of anything greater than our personal relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ that should call us to joyful thanksgiving. Think about it. The sovereign God, the one who created all things and sustains all things, the one who is absolutely holy and just in all that he does, would desire a relationship with you and me. He lives within our hearts. Ponder that. It's astounding. And then beyond that, realize this. Any successful human relationships you and I enjoy are a result of our relationship with God through Christ. You can't truly love someone unless you have accepted and experienced the love of God in a personal way. My wife Joyce and I talk about this sometimes. It's only because of God's work of grace in our hearts that we've had a wonderful marriage of more than 40 years. Without Christ, we'd be selfish, we'd be proud, and wanting our own way. Now don't get the wrong idea, we're not perfect, but because Jesus lives in our hearts by his Holy Spirit, and because we love him and strive to walk in obedience to the principles of his word, we can experience the blessings he intended in our relationship. And no matter where you are, you can apply those same principles to any relationship you have. If you love God and follow his word, your relationships will be successful. Not easy, I didn't say that. They may not be easy, but they'll be successful. We can't leave this text without mentioning the warning that's given in the final verses. And this warning actually makes up about one-third of the psalm. And you'll notice that it is addressed to those who are the people of God. So you see, within every one of us is the possibility of turning away from the Lord. The psalmist says, "Do not harden your heart." That will only happen if you refuse to give God his rightful place in your life. If you do not worship him, if you are not thankful to him for all of his blessings, I can guarantee you, your heart will become hardened. Romans 1:20 warns us about this very thing. And so I urge you, please, don't go down that road. You know, a life that's characterized by thankfulness is also a life of contentment, a life that will be at rest. A grateful spirit rejoices in what God has provided, and it frees us from the constant longing and struggle for more, more, more. The scriptures remind us that godliness with contentment is great gain. And I see contentment and thankfulness being closely related. So it is my prayer that as you reflect on the blessings of salvation, creation, and relation, your heart will swell with joyful thanksgiving to God. And not only at this special time of year, but every day you will thank God for his marvelous blessings.
Angels holy, high and glory, sing the praises.
Thank you, choir, for that good advice. And all of us at Heralds of Hope are thankful for each one of you who partner with us in the proclamation of the gospel. If you're listening and you'd like to become a partner with us in this worldwide ministry, we invite you to contact us today. Our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org. That's hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or our mailing address is The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. And you can use this information to request a print or digital copy of today's teaching, Joyful Thanksgiving. To review today's teaching or to listen to archived programs, log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen when it's convenient for you. And if you want to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. We also invite you to help support this ministry financially by donating securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number 866-960-0292. You can also mail your gift to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Don't forget, our web address is heraldsofhope.org. Now I hope you'll join me next week here on The Voice of Hope, and until we meet again,
oh, blessing on earth, thanks and praise to Father, Son, and Spirit. The God who saved us by His grace, all glory to His merit. O Father in the heavens above, Thy glorious work show forth Thy love. Thy worthy name be hallowed. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Keep us in life by grace led on, forgiving and forgiven. Save Thou us in temptations our, and from all ills Thine is.